This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
9:03 on this Saturday morning. Time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Mark Steeren, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing in Litchfield. By DC Waste and Recycling in Hillsboro. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. By the Huff & Sons Funeral Home in Hillsboro. CTI Tech. By Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. And by Garrell's Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield. And on this Saturday morning, we join WSMI's Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
David Jenkins, thank you very much, and welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday here on the 23rd day of March, and the madness is alive.
Yes, it is, alive and well, as we celebrate the first Saturday in spring, and my goodness gracious, Cardinal baseball starts officially on Thursday, and
big announcement coming today officially.
Yeah.
Locked up Goldschmidt.
That's very good for the Cardinals.
5 years, $130 million is what is being reported.
Yeah.
Biggest contract in the history of the Cardinals.
Well,
for annual average.
Right,
salary.
Right. Well, and he's young enough and productive enough that that should fit the Cardinals very well. They, you know, always need extra boppers. Ozuna acted like he knew what he was doing this week. Fowler acted like he knew what he was doing this week, so you know maybe that's good news. But
they're gonna be good this year.
They should be better this year than what they were last year.
And they've got the talent. They've now got the manager that knows what the heck to do.
Right.
So that will go along.
Yeah, and you know I think we all say, gosh, it's such a long season. But it is really important to get off to a good start. It really
games
does.
Games in April count just as much.
They do.
Or in this case, March.
Yeah.
And the nice thing about opening up in Milwaukee is, you know you're not going to get rained out.
Yeah.
And you know it's going to be temperature controlled.
You're going to get four games in, and there's not going to be any problems, unless the roof gets stuck open, I guess.
Anything can happen.
I guess anything could happen, but Cardinals will start next Thursday, and they'll play a four-game set in Milwaukee before going to Pittsburgh, and then they come back home for their home.
I can only imagine what Bob Uecker would say if the roof got stuck open on opening day.
Oh,
boy.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
So opening day is Thursday in Milwaukee. Cards and Brewers start time?
Oh, gosh.
Day game.
It's a day game, yeah. 2:10?
Right. We'll call it 2:10. If it's not right, we'll correct it later.
I think I have it in here someplace. I'm close.
And
oh, it's 12:15.
There you go.
12:15.
There's a 2 in there.
Yeah. It was within a margin of error.
That's right. It's like polling data.
Yeah.
Close enough.
That's close enough.
So we know the Cardinals will be good to go on Thursday. Finally, this was really the first week of the high school baseball and softball season where Mother Nature didn't get in the way. You know, there were some games that were canceled because field conditions were still too wet, but for the most part, there was a full slate of games played today. And locally, softball-wise, Southwestern Pius All Birds off to a flying start here. They beat Edwardsville earlier this week. They've got a potent offense. They were winners again yesterday. They beat Jersey by the final. I think it was 13-3. So Pius All Birds are loaded for bear.
You know, this is kind of a throwback to a few years ago when Southwestern was just one of those teams that, you know, you would always make a deep postseason run. You knew that you had your hands full. They played a tough schedule. They played up, you know, a lot of bigger teams. Hillsboro off to a good start. They're undefeated at this point.
Beat Greenville.
Again.
20-1 yesterday, the final of the toppers over the Comets. 11 in the first, 8 in the second.
Wow.
And then, of course, the Toppers and the Comets basketball players will be teaming up
tomorrow
in the All-Star Rotary Classic in Carlinville. And you talk about an all-star team.
Oh, yeah.
The seniors of Hillsboro and the seniors of Greenville.
Just let them play.
Kyle McGrain will have his hands full. He's coaching the other squad. We're hopefully going to catch up with Kyle coming up here later on in the show. Of course, he'll be involved in the All-Star game tomorrow his Bulldogs off to a nice start. Didn't go well for him yesterday. They got handled by Berea Central, but that is one day after they beat Lebanon 20-0.
You know, and baseball's so different than softball, because softball you have a pitcher or two, and they can go every day, whereas, you know, your pitching rotation, the depth for small schools just isn't there a lot of times. So
Staunton does have some.
Staunton has
some
pitching.
They do.
They've got pitching. They
I remember Kyle told me, well, late in the basketball season, we asked him about his baseball squad. Yeah. We probably don't have the power that we had last year. He's like, well, we got the pitching.
They got kids that can throw strikes.
And they got Silas Cox.
Yeah, well,
that kid can play.
He's a ball player. Yeah. He's the real deal. So, and you know what will happen here? We'll have a few days where we can get some games in. Then it'll be absolutely miserable and wet and cold. And then they'll get a few more games in, and then it'll be absolutely wet and cold and miserable again. And then it'll be about time for the county baseball tournament, which will be our first set of broadcasts coming up on April the 13th. So
hopefully it'll be above 50 degrees.
And hopefully above, hopefully above the freezing mark.
That's
always good.
It's helpful.
Good. That's always helpful.
Girls soccer today. The Carlinville Spring Cup is going on at Blackburn. They will wrap that up today. The championship semifinals, Carlinville and CM, Plains and Bloomington Central Catholic. Those are both 11 o'clock games. The Cavies will play on field one at Blackburn. Plains and Central Catholic will play on field two, championship game.
What a great matchup. What a great early season tournament for Carlinville and for teams around here to bring in teams like Plains and Bloomington Central Catholic and see those that level of competition. That's terrific.
The consolation semifinals will both be at 1 o'clock today. Staunton Auburn on field one, Greenville Lincoln on field two. Again, all that taking place at Blackburn College. The fifth place game's at one. The seventh place game also at one. Again, field one
and two. And the nice thing about it, everybody gets three games. So that's a good deal. Three games over 2 days. So can't complain about that. A lot of times though, it gets washed out. At least this weekend they get to play it. So
and you know the soccer has a little easier go of it.
Yeah.
This time of year than the baseball and the softball. Though it was so wet earlier. Oh. I mean, there was even soccer matches getting canceled. And Terry says, I've been reading the finals here at the early part of the season. There's been some big totals and some lopsided scores in the early part of the season.
Well, and some of it is, you know, the disparaging the differences in competition levels. But there are times when the wind, if you take the wind in the first half and the wind is going 30 to 40 miles per hour and you are able to build up a lead, the other team just doesn't really have a chance.
Well, and last week when you had those 50-mile-an-hour wind gusts, that the scores that day, you could tell which fields had the wind at the back where it was blowing out.
Yeah. There's an old saying, always take the wind in the first half if you can. So, because by the time the second half rolls around in Illinois, it could be blowing the opposite direction. Yes. So,
Hey, big news earlier this week. Litchfield has hired a new athletic director.
Yep.
And Mark Elvers is the man. He's coming back to Litchfield after 11 years on the sidelines as their head football coach. He was the head coach from 1999 to 2009, made the playoffs three straight years, and that's the last time Litchfield not only made the playoffs but had a winning season.
Yeah.
Was under Mark Elvers. And, you know, having a Litchfield guy,
that is
critical for the program and the school.
And, you know, Mark's been there, done that. Had success, knows what it takes to have success. He was a successful player himself, good athlete. This is really a jolt in the arm for Litchfield, I think, just to get one of their guys back in there. So,
you know, that was the key with Pat Rentz when he was there. You know, having someone who knows the history, is invested in the school, invested in the community.
Yeah. And you look at a lot of schools around here, Tim, and not only do we have a lot of schools that have alumni who are coaching their teams, but also guys from area schools, guys and gals from area schools who know the area, who know the conferences that they participate in and are familiar with it. So, you know, we've had some really wonderful coaches and people who are, do a terrific job for our high school team. So
we're going to talk to Mark Elvers coming up about 9:20 this morning, get his thoughts. I'm sure it's a very exciting time for him. And that'll take effect the start of next school year.
So that'd be probably 1st of August, maybe July.
Maybe July.
Yeah.
I would imagine sometime in the summer because, and it'll be interesting when we talk to him, but, you know, for an AD this day and age, the number one top priority is football.
It is football.
And we know what type of issues Litchfield had with their football a year ago. And honestly, a lot of that came from the fact they didn't really have an AD. So that, you know, that just kind of exacerbated the problems that they had. So it'll be very interesting to get Mark's thoughts on the football program because he knows it well.
He knows it well. Plus, we're also getting to the point where, as far as postseason is concerned, it's going to be a transition period here over the next year or two because they're going to go from the traditional playoffs this year to the districts next year, which will, you know, basically do away with the need for conferences. Now, that doesn't mean the conferences are going to go away, but the playoffs will, what determines whether or not you get into playoffs, the criteria will be changed. So,
you'll have districts of football instead of conferences, but the conferences will still exist for all the other schools.
Sure.
And we've talked about this before, but we're probably going to see some of the conferences get back to maybe some of their roots, some of the more traditional settings with football not being a factor in it.
Well, and you know, everybody has to admit, whether they like to or not, conferences have been rearranged solely for the purpose of football in the last two decades. I mean, you've destroyed conferences, you've rearranged teams, and ever since the football playoffs, actually it's been longer than two decades probably, you know, going all the way back to the 70s, I can remember teams getting out of conferences because they, you know, they didn't stand a chance to compete and earn a playoff berth.
It seemed like it really got worse, though, over the last 10 years or so, because you saw it at the college level. That's why we have all these monster conferences in college. It's all because of football. And then it really started taking effect at the high school football scene as well. And I mean, it had gotten out of control.
Yeah. And one thing that I miss about basketball is the fact that the conferences sometimes are just so big that you didn't have a home-and-home basketball thing, which I always thought was just part of what basketball should be. You ought to have a home-and-home, you know, and if you have 10 teams or 9 other teams, that's 18 games. Well, that basically fills your schedule up for the most part, where if you have a 6-team conference, you know, 5 away, 5 at home, that's 10 games. You can fill in the rest of the schedule. Makes it a little more workable, so I don't know. That's just my opinion. Doesn't mean I'm right, just my opinion.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we will catch up with new Litchfield Athletic Director Mark Elvers when Sports Saturday rolls on.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you so much. We're going to catch up with Mark Elvers here in just one moment on Sports Saturday. And, Terry, it's hard to go through an athletic season without an AD. You know, I mean, it's just really hard. And you could get the sense this year, you know, talking to some of the people involved with Litchfield, there was just a lot more responsibility that had to be divvied up that would normally go. I mean, it's a full-time position.
Sure.
And so, you know, they got Drew Logan on later in the year. So he was, you know, instrumental during the Litchfield, the Rick McGraw Memorial Invitational Tournament, you know, but that was a lot on Drew's plate.
And you know, one of the challenges, number one, I know the South Central rearranged their schedule. So you had different dates now as compared to the last few years. So you had to make sure you had to have officials for those dates. You always have officials that cancel, but especially the spring sports where you have rainouts and then you have to reschedule, then you have to find officials for the rescheduled date, which is sometimes nearly impossible to do. The shortage of officials is something we continue to hear about more and more. John Michael Marty had a chance to talk with Ron Grissom, a former official from Greenville, yesterday, just as a guest on his show, and he was talking even, you know, they knew years and years ago about the potential shortage of officials. So it's a very difficult job.
And we're happy to be joined on the phone right now by the new Litchfield Athletic Director, Mark Elvers. Yeah. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, congratulations. Just your initial thoughts. You're coming back home, and now you're in charge of the whole athletic department.
I'm excited. Get to work with a lot of good men and women there. Lots that I worked with in the past or worked with me in football, and just excited.
Yeah, it's you know, it's a stabilizing thing to come in and be able to take over and you know, kind of get things set, and once you get them set, you just kind of you know, things become a lot easier. When you first take over, obviously there's some growing pains, but once you get everything in place, you know, you'll have your methods and things will flow rather well.
I hope so. Yeah, I think there'll be a few challenges as we get started. But you know, like I said, we have some nice coaches in place and some people willing to help out, and we'll get it rolling.
Mark, as you looked at the situation this last fall from a distance, it had to be tough for you being a Litchfield guy. Obviously, your ties to the football program, that had to be difficult for you to see what was going on there.
Yeah, it was a tough situation. I thought Coach Priddle did a great job of handling it from a distance, like you said. But, yeah, it was tough to watch. Put a lot of years into the program. 11 as head coach, a few as assistant. Came back and helped Pat Rentz for a few years. So hopefully we can get the numbers up there. And I know Coach Priddle's working hard at doing that. And get it back on track.
So what are your initial thoughts? Because, I mean, this day and age, you know, football, it takes center stage. It's the top dog on the athletic calendar. So as you're just a few days into the job, but, you know, football has kind of become a 12-month out-of-the-year situation. So what are some of the changes or some of the things you want to see moving forward with the Litchfield football program from an administrative perspective, more so?
Well, like you said, I'm just really getting into it now. Obviously, we've got to get our numbers up, but it's a tough sport. Like you said, it's a 12-month-a-year sport, so we've got to get some dedication and some hard work, and we've got to roll up our sleeves and get to work. And it's going to be a day-by-day thing, getting the athletes back out and getting it going. So I got faith the coach can do it, and I'm going to sit down with him here soon, and we're going to go over his plan and see what we got, and we'll put a plan together and get it going again.
The process of getting numbers, selling the program, reselling the program, building some success along the way, which draws more interest in the younger kids. And, of course, if you don't have the younger kids involved, you really don't have a chance for a program.
Yeah, we've got to get young kids excited about Litchfield football. I think we've been through some peaks and some valleys in the years past. I know when I took over, our numbers were a little low. But you start putting hard work in, you make it exciting for kids, and see the fruits of their labor start to build, and people get excited. But it won't be a Coach Pearl Mark Elver's job. It'll be a job of everyone. It'll take all the coaches, community, parents, athletes, administration. Everybody has to be involved in building that, and it takes a village. So,
and the one,
get everybody involved. So.
And the village for the Panther football team has always been strong, Coach. I mean, even in down years, quote-unquote, Lloyd Hill Field was packed every Friday night.
Yeah, we used to get some nice crowds out there. It was a lot of fun. WSMI was there every week. Had some Brad McVay going, and it was a good time. And hopefully we'll get that coming again. I think if we can get the numbers up and get people excited, we've shown in the past that they will show up and they will support, and they'll get excited and they'll get behind it. And, you know, like I said, Coach Priddle did a good job with a tough situation last year. And hopefully his numbers are coming up this year and get it back on track.
Mark, I'm not sure there's ever an easy situation when you're an athletic director, is there? I mean, you're always scrambling to find officials and reschedule games. It's just not an easy job to do.
No, but it's rewarding. You get to work with, you know, the young men and women. You get to work with the coaches. You get to work in athletics. In anything, there's some tough and parts of any job that are not fun, but officials are definitely, you know, they've got a tough job, and it's fewer and fewer people are getting into that profession, so that'll be a challenge to make sure we're getting, you know, good officials in each week, and I'm sure there's quite a few challenges that are coming around for me that I'm not quite aware of yet. So.
Of course, Mark, for years Litchfield had Ed Roundcount on the boys' side, Don Gersh on the girls' side, but you're taking over the entire program. So, we're talking about football, but you got a lot of different sports, a lot of different coaches, like I said, a lot of different people that you will be in charge of. So I'm just curious your thought process when you decided to apply for the job. Just kind of take us through your thinking of why you wanted this type of position.
Well, first of all, Lisa Schaefer will be in charge of the middle school. So that was something that Don and Ed did not have. They had middle school through high school. So I will have the whole high school. Lisa will do the middle school. And she did a fantastic job this year of kind of keeping it all together as we went through many athletic directors. I just kind of wanted to give back, add some stability. I've been part of, along with Pat Rentz, we ran a character and leadership group the last few years. I helped and volunteered with him when he was coaching. And I just felt the need to give back and the need to step in and help out. I have a lot of good friends, Coach Newkirk in the athletics program, Coach Kress, just some Drew Logan, just some guys I'm sure I'm leaving many out, but some people I felt I need to team up with and help get this thing going. So as I thought about it, talked about it with my wife, and it's just something that had me excited and something I thought was time to step up and roll the sleeves up and get to work.
You know, the nice thing about being the AD, Mark, you don't have to yell at the officials, you just get to give them the check.
That'll be different for me. I'm not good at not yelling.
And being a Litchfield guy, when you come back to your alma mater and can help out, that means a lot. And Mark, one thing that I always remember and not from just your football days, but I remember your high school baseball playing days and one of the most remarkable runs Litchfield baseball ever had was when you were moved to the catcher's position at the county baseball tournament, and I think it was 1985, and I don't think the Panthers lost another game until they were in the state championship game that year.
That was a long time ago. That's
long
a good memory, right?
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, though, that was a heck of a good baseball team you had there.
It was. A lot of good guys, a lot of great memories, yeah. A lot of good friends, and hopefully we can build something like that for the kids. They'll remember their whole life.
And the reason I bring that up, because that's one point of reference that you can personally share with the kids, as the student athletes come through the system that, hey, we were a part of this and we've been able to do this in the past and we can continue to strive to do it in the future.
Well, I agree. And I was fortunate to be around some great coaches and some great athletes we can build on it, and we can use it as a reference a little bit. We've had some other great teams come through. Mm-hmm. Wrestling's had some nice teams and track. But those were great memories. And I think if we can build some of those characteristics of hard work, leadership, dedication, trust within the program, the wins and losses will take care of themselves. But we still play to win the game, so we've got to get we've got to get to work.
And you got to get the athletes out, and the more athletes that play multiple sports, the better off all the sports become.
There's no doubt about that. If you're a good athlete, you need to be playing multiple sports. We need our athletes out for two to three sports, participating. I think you can learn so much from other sports and being around other people and other coaches that carry over to your other sports. Specializations kind of hurt high school athletics. Like many people, I don't like it a whole lot. I think there's just a lot to be learned from multiple sports, and I hope we can pass that message along.
Mark, you will officially be taking over at the start of next school year, but what will be the start date? It'll be sometime this summer?
Sure, probably Monday. as soon as I get back from Kent, I'm going to sit down with Drew and let him finish out the things that need to be done for this year and get to work on the things that need to be done for the summer and next year.
You walk into Drew's office.
Very patient.
You walk into Drew's office and Drew says, "Well, here you go, Mark. Good to see you back, buddy.
Right. Yeah, besides intensity, I'm not very patient either, so I'm ready to get to work. So.
Sounds good. Mark Elvers, thanks for a few minutes of your time this morning. Congratulations on the new job, and we look forward to working with you over the next several years, sir.
Hey, I appreciate all you guys do, and I appreciate you having me on.
That is a great hire for Lynch.
And Mark's a good guy. He's just, he was a hardworking athlete when he was a Purple Panther. He was a hardworking coach. He's had success. Just a good guy. And, you know, the program will see the benefits of his efforts.
There's no doubt.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So, a good hire for Litchfield.
Speaking of Litchfield, Sam Painter has agreed to attend Illinois Wesleyan.
Hey, that's a good thing.
Basketball.
Right? Yeah. Illinois Wesleyan's getting themselves a pretty darn good player.
What an athlete.
Boy, that guy, was he fun to watch or what?
Big time.
Yes, indeed.
Cool. He's right in the middle of his track and field season right now.
Yeah. So.
I'm not sure what Dave was trying to tell me.
I was going to see if you wanted another guest right now.
Okay. Good call. McBrain on the phone.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, with all those hand signals. I don't know what I was going on.
This is the universal signal for telephone. Usually.
It is?
I think so.
They say 95% of communication is nonverbal.
Maybe it's not.
I don't know.
Whatever. We have enough trouble with verbal sometimes.
Goodness gracious.
By the way, Tim, we mentioned about the Carlinville Rotary Club's All-Star game coming up tomorrow. The girls' game is at 4:30. The boys' game at 7. Just a plug for the Carlinville Rotary Club. Rotary Club in Carlinville does so many wonderful things for the community. This is one of their big fundraisers for the year. It's $6 to get in. Kids under the age of 6 are free. They're going to have food there. You're going to get to see some terrific senior ball players, many of whom we've featured on the radio this year. And, if you're looking for a kind of a fun afternoon, basically they're going to play 4 10-minute quarters, and they let them play, giddy up and go. They don't stop play very often.
Get out of the way.
They'll have a 3-point shootout for the girls, a dunking contest for the boys. So, if you can support the Carlinville Rotary Club coming up tomorrow afternoon, they would appreciate it, and you'll certainly enjoy yourself.
Kyle McBrain will be there. He'll be coaching one of the All-Star squads, and he joins us on the phone right now. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Hey, we're doing good. So we'll get into your baseball season in just a moment, but you got one more basketball game to coach, Kyle, and boy, will that be a lot of fun tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. Whenever I was asked to do it, they asked if I wanted to coach one more game, and I said, why not? It'll be a lot of fun.
And, All-Star games obviously have a totally different feel. Let's have some fun. Let's get up and go. In a lot of ways, as the coach, you just get out of the way and just tell the kids to play when it's their turn.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, I'm basically going to be the sub guy, just subbing people in, go out and play, and kind of go from there. So, yep, we told the girls just go out and have fun and see what happens.
Did you get a practice in last week?
We did not. I talked to Coach Dosager from Greenville, and we decided with all these girls playing spring sports and stuff, we're just going to show up and have some fun.
Which is, really makes sense. They are involved in track and soccer and softball and, enough other things to keep their time occupied. So get out there, and hopefully they still have some leg strength left from the basketball season.
Exactly. Yeah.
If not, then it's up to you to make the decision to get them in and get them out. So,
Yep.
And you'll get one more chance, Kyle, the coach. That you had such a great group of seniors this year. You set the school record for wins. It was a banner year in so many ways. So it has to be exciting for you to get to coach that group one more time.
Yeah, I'm really excited and looking forward to that. I send out the text and ask them if they wanted to be a part of this thing. And I said, well, I've got bad news, though. You're stuck with me one more time. And they were pretty excited about it, too. So, yep, really looking forward to it.
That'll be tomorrow. The girls' game's at 4:30. The boys' game will fall. The 3-point contest, that's always an interesting aspect of these All-Star games.
Oh, yeah. And I'll tell you what, I went up to state and watched Hillsborough, and if Matouche shoots the way she did up there, wow. It should be a fun show.
And I guess, that's the downside, Kyle, you got to deal with the Hillsborough girls and the Greenville girls on the same team.
Yeah, after I accepted this whole thing, and then I kind of thought about who I was going to be coaching against, no, I'm just kidding. It's going to be a lot of fun, and, you know, I joking with Coach Deneve, he said, you better come out and box him one on the douche. we're going to get up and down and play, so it'll be a lot of fun.
That will be a lot of fun, and the Bulldog baseball team has had a lot of fun so far. Maybe yesterday, notwithstanding, that game didn't go your way, but you guys were off to a really good start this year.
Yeah, we faced a couple teams that were kind of struggling to get us out, and then yesterday we came out and played Breeze Central, and they're a good squad, and you know, we're kind of, not to make excuses, but we're kind of managing pitching right now and that sort of deal, so you just kind of go out and play, and they found some holes. Boy, that first inning, we couldn't find it out. So it was a good learning experience, and I think we've probably learned more from that game than we did our first three wins. So we've got a good group of guys and some guys coming back with some experience from our run last year. So it should be a fun year.
And baseball is such a crazy game. You won 20-0 the day before and then go out and give up 8 runs in the first inning. Like I said, you just couldn't find it out. And some days in baseball, it's just like that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and that's what we tell the boys. It's like, look, you know, it's going to happen. Unfortunately, it does, and we ran into a good pitcher, the best pitcher we've seen by far. So, just being able to see that arm right now, I think, was good for us. So,
Kyle, are you kind of at ease now with the pitching restrictions for high school baseball pitchers? It's been around for a couple 3 years now, and it's just, you know, the first year or so, it's kind of tough to get used to, but are you finally used to it now and able to just kind of go with the flow?
Yeah, I'll be honest. We used not exactly the same sort of system, but we had a pitch count before that, so it really wasn't that big of a transition for us. But I will say the one thing that it has done, and to our benefit, is we've had kids that have to throw now that maybe wouldn't have in the past. So it gets them experience, and I really think it's helped build our pitching up. So I don't think it's been a negative. I actually think it's been a positive for us.
Of course, you had such a dynamite team a year ago. You mentioned it got all the way to the sectional final, and you returned a good core of that team. And with Devin Ray and Silas Cox, I think probably as your 1-2, that is a good place to start.
Yeah, you know how baseball is. It's all about pitching, and if you have two guys you can consider your number one, that's a good spot to be in high school baseball. So, yeah, and we've got some other guys that are going to come in. We throw Colin McBride out of the bullpen. He does a good job, and some other younger guys that are going to get some starts. So, yeah, we like where we're at, and we just have to keep on playing.
It's always nice to have that lefty.
Yeah, and a lefty that can bring some juice, too. That's, that's pretty good.
And you mentioned Colin McBride. I know last year he did a nice job for you behind the plate, too.
Oh, he's been our rock for 4 years. I've never had a freshman as a starting catcher, but he came in right from the start, and he just does a great job back there and handles our pitching staff. And, you know, I've contemplated calling signs and, calling pitches from the dugout. Every time I do, he looks at me like I'm nuts. So, he's a kid that can just run the show. So, he's a lot of fun to have.
And, Kyle, from your perspective, you know, you coached the basketball for a number of years. You've always been involved with the baseball. There's just a different vibe and a different feel to the spring sport.
Oh, yeah. Especially when the weather breaks, I think it's just, I don't know. For me, it makes the school year fly by. It's like as soon as we start baseball season, it's like you're playing every day and you get out and you kind of deal with the bad weather to start with. And then once spring officially gets here and it warms up, it's a blast. I've loved it ever since I was in high school. So.
And the goal is always to play into June. That's what you want to do, play into June.
Yep, that's right. And it's all about building up to that. So. Yeah. You know, like I said, right now we're pitchers are kind of limited innings and pitches, and kind of build them up and hopefully make a run at the end.
It's obviously early, but what's your early feel for the South Central Conference?
Yeah, I think there's a couple teams that really kind of stick out. Greenville is just that they just find a way to be competitive, and I honestly think Hillsborough is going to be tough. They had some young pitching last year that I think is going to keep getting better. Carlinville, they've got a couple pitchers over there. It's kind of wide open. You don't really know until you get deeper into the season. So we'll see how it goes. It should be competitive.
And you always hope that Mother Nature allows enough games to be played to get a true sense and feel.
Yeah, and that's why I think these early season, like before conference starts, games are so important, just to kind of, you know, get a feel for where we're at and where everybody else is at, and then you can kind of, I wouldn't say scout, but you can kind of get an idea of their hitters and strengths and weaknesses and that sort of stuff. So, yeah, we're hoping that Mother Nature lets us keep playing some ball.
That's why we need the Wisme Dome right across from the radio station. I'm telling you right now, it could be busy all the day long. So,
hey, you build it and we'll come.
You darn right, buddy.
I like it. Kyle McBray, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time. Enjoy the rest of the baseball season. And, hey, try not to mess up the All-Star game tomorrow.
Hey, you'll see me sitting on the bench right over there.
Okay. Don't get teed up.
No. Nope.
All right, Kyle, thank you so much. Kyle McBrain, one of the great guys.
Oh, he is. He's a terrific guy, and was such a competitor when he was at high school, and just he brings that level of competitiveness to coaching, and we remember, you know, he's teaching. It's a teaching situation, and he's able to bring that into whatever sport he's involved
in. And
with,
he did a great job with the basketball.
Yes,
but
he did.
He's a baseball guy.
Yeah, he's a baseball guy.
A baseball guy.
He could, yeah. We've got some really good baseball people in the area, baseball coaches and softball coaches for that matter. You know, we're pretty fortunate. We run into our football and basketball coaches a lot more, but you take a look around the conferences and we've got some terrific people who not just don't show up. They, you know, they're invested in the game and invested in their kids. So.
And generally just for us with this show, it's a little more challenging to catch up with the baseball and softball coaches because they've got a lot of times games on Saturday mornings.
Yeah. So we just, you know, we're not able to catch up to them most of the time. And, you know, we're glad that they're able to play on Saturday. That's the nice thing about
it.
Play too, yeah. And we're seeing more and more where they have these three-team round robins. And
a couple of those
and,
going on today in Greenville and Roxanna on baseball and one in Vandalia for softball.
Yeah. You know, I think that's a great way to, number one, hire officials and, you know, you get three games in or a team would get two games in on an afternoon and you don't have to be changing out officials. And if it's a nice afternoon, you can fire up the grill and, you know, maybe the concession stand can make a little money and have a few people in the stands. And
there's nothing like there when that grill's fired up
and
changes directions and all of a sudden it's just coming right to you.
And you're sitting there, you know, we're trying to broadcast and you smell those pork patties and pork chops. And
like a cartoon, you start floating.
Oh, God, yeah. You're going, oh, wow, it's lunchtime and I'm stuck here talking, you know.
But they usually bring us stuff.
Oh, they do. Oh, absolutely, yeah. Oh, yeah. Here, go ahead and have this. Well, I'm on the air right now, you know. It's tough to chew and talk at the same time.
We'll be back after these messages.
Yeah, that's right. It's going to be an extended break, okay? Yeah.
We do need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more in just a moment.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
David Jenkins, thank you so much back here on Sports Saturday.
By the way, the Southwestern Scholastic Bowl team finished third.
Last week. Congratulations.
Yep.
As a, I think, third straight year they finished
third. Three for three, huh?
Three for three. There you go.
There you go.
State hardware, nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong. No, absolutely not. When you get a chance to take the team to a state tournament venue, doesn't make any difference what sort of activity it is. It's neat.
Yeah, that was held last Friday at the Peoria Civic Center, of course, the same day as the 3A, 4A state tournament, which East St. Louis and Belleville West brought both of those championships back to the Metro East area.
And isn't it funny because all year long we've been hearing out of Chicagoland about the public league and how the public league probably stood an excellent chance of sweeping all four classes this year in the state basketball tournament. They win the 1A and the 2A. But here you have the Southwest Conference winning the 3A and the 4A, and boy, the Flyers.
They beat public league teams along the way,
and
too.
They beat public league teams along the way. The Flyers, you needed the overtime, get the dunk to tie it up, and what a great finish that was. And then Belleville West just, you know, E.J. Liddell was a man amongst children. Second half, he just took over. So.
And the Southwestern Conference becomes the first conference, other than the Chicago Public League, to win two state championships in the same year.
Which is
phenomenal.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah,
pretty
phenomenal. Impressive. Yeah, so Chicago Providence St. Mel out of the Chicago Catholic League won 1A. Chicago Orr Public League won 2A.
And that was their third in a row.
Yeah, which they should be in 3A.
Yeah,
but that's
absolutely.
That's another conversation for another time. But then East St. Louis and Belleville West bring home the 3A and 4A.
And isn't it true, though, that if you have success multiple years, don't you have to be bumped up according to the IHSA
only
regs?
For private.
And it was not a private.
Yeah, they're public
school. Publicly,
yeah, that's the difference there.
Yeah.
But I mentioned this with Chicago Marshall on the girls' side, and the same thing is true for Orr on the boys' side. Like, Peoria Emanuel petitions to play up.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they not petitioning to play up? Like, how much satisfaction and joy can you really get from winning the 2A title all these years in a row? Wouldn't you want to challenge yourself up a class?
I don't know.
Evidently not, because they're not doing it.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, is enrollment the best method to use for determining classes?
Well, and to your point, like, they are public schools, but they're not really.
They're not really.
They're not really.
They're not the public schools as we think of in our area.
They're choosing their sports teams the same way a private school chooses their sports teams. Yeah. So while technically public.
And if you listen to the coaches from the Chicago Public League, they will talk about acquiring a kid from a different school.
That's how it works.
And that's how it works. And it is perfectly normal. It happens every year, but it's a whole different world in the public league. So. Yeah.
But it was good to see East St. Louis and Belleville West knock them off and bring home the championships. Mentioned the Carlinville Rotary Classic. We're going to get into that in just a moment. But, Terry, next Saturday, it's called the River War. We talked about this a little bit last week with the boys' game. I did not realize, my fault, that there is a girls' game associated with that. And Sammy Matouche will be on the All-Star team for Illinois, along with Nancy Fritschke of Greenville. But this is going to be an awesome venue. Illinois versus Missouri. The best players from the two states squaring off next Saturday. They'll be at SLU High. Girls' game will be first, followed by the boys' game. And, Terry, that is such a neat concept, the River War. We all know what, you know, the bragging rights game is.
Yeah.
When they did it for football, it was fantastic. The basketball game is obviously a staple around Christmas time. But to have a high school all-star game pitting the best from Illinois against the best from Missouri, awesome.
The only thing that comes to mind is, why did it take this long?
Well, they've had it before, but I think this might be the third one, but it hasn't been a consistent thing. But, yeah, what have they been waiting for?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the Border War, the Illini and the Missouri Tigers, I mean, they packed no matter how good and or bad a team is, they packed the place, and it's a tournament-like atmosphere. And it would be great to see something like this grow into a similar situation. Yeah. So.
And, you know, Sammy, she put on a show up at the state tournament. She was the leading AP vote getter on the first team. So she's known statewide as being a great ball player. But then to get the recognition to be in a game like this, that will be a great way, in some ways maybe the perfect way,
for
her to end her high school career. River War, Illinois versus Missouri.
And that's on the 30th.
Next Saturday. The girls' game will be at 3:30. It'll be at SLU High's Danis Fieldhouse. If you want tickets to that, RiverWarAllStarGame.com will get you there. You get more details on that as well. And then they're also going to have a St. Louis versus Kansas City showdown at 5:45.
Wow.
And then the River War between Illinois and Missouri for the boys at 7:30. You got E.J. Liddell, Terrence Hargrove Jr. You got Terry and Verdicts from Southeast. Yeah. I mean, and then you got the kids from the public league, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that is going to be a high-level basketball game.
That'll be a brutal. Yeah.
So that is just really neat, the River War coming up next Saturday. Coming up tomorrow is the Carlinville Rotary All-Star Classic, and this is our area all-star game that involves all of our area kids, and this has become a nice way to close out the area basketball season over the last, I don't even know how many years this season's going on now.
17th. It's the 17th year that the Rotary Club has put this on, and you know, the great thing about this is and I've mentioned this before, that once you get into the postseason goes so quickly. Even if you go deep into the postseason like the Hillsborough girls did.
It flies by.
And a lot of times, I'm not sure that, you know, the student-athletes have really closed out that part of their career, and this is a very nice way to do it. You know, they get to wear a uniform one more time. They get to play against or with people they've played against, and it's just kind of a camaraderie type thing.
I think for the few teams that are fortunate enough to make it to the state tournament, I think they probably get that closure.
Right.
Because you know going
right.
in, this
right.
will be my last game.
Yeah. Yeah.
But everybody else.
Yeah, you're just.
It just, you play. You lose, and it's over.
It's over. You go into your spring sport, and, you know, away you go. This way, though, you at least get a little more recognition, at least recognition one more time, and you can kind of, in your mind, say, okay, you know, we're done now, and worry about other things. So
that's tomorrow, the Big House on West Main in Carlinville, the girls' game at 4:30. The boys' game will follow at 7. They'll have a dunk contest and three-point contest for the boys and the girls as well. Now, it'll be a fun day of basketball.
Yeah, yeah. And I always kid around and say they ought to have an old-timers three-point shootout and put the arc at about 10 feet. You know, that's right. Those old guys get in there and get close, though. Let us get a little bit closer.
Have the coaches shoot it out.
Well, there you go. That's an interesting idea. Yeah, yeah. Maybe earn, you know, an extra point or two for you going into the second half. Coaches shootout.
There you go. We're straight bragging rights.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a game that you could alter the rules if you want to, because, you know, you could have a four-point line if you wanted to. Let's face it.
Yeah. Let's not give many ideas, though.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty scary.
Yeah. And, you know, I hope that never happens.
Oh, I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think it will either,
no,
but
no.
You never know.
I would like to see the three-point line deepened up.
Even at the high school game?
Not the high school game. I think the high school game's okay. But certainly college, you could probably be moved back another 3 or 4 inches.
Probably could be. They've already moved it back a little bit, but yeah. It could go stand to go back some more.
Just a little more. Just way too many three-pointers to me. And you know, I still like to see the ball pounded in. And
well, we saw one of the tournament games on Thursday. New Mexico State was down 2. And driving the length of the floor, the guy blows by his defender, has a wide-open layup to tie the game, passes out for a three.
Three.
Which the guy gets fouled,
yeah.
Makes one of the three free throws. Ball goes off of Auburn out of bounds. New Mexico State has the ball down 1 under their own hoop. They run a nice play, get a kid a wide-open corner three, and air ball.
Yeah.
You know, that was the one thing that the tournament missed the first 2 days. No buzzer beaters.
Yeah.
And very few upsets.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think he had 1 5-12. Upset.
No, you had three of those.
Was there three of
but
those?
That doesn't really feel like an upset.
Not anymore.
No. The only true upset I thought was 13-seeded UC Irvine, the Anteaters, beating Kansas State.
Yeah.
Then you had Virginia losing at half again.
Yeah.
They came back and won. Carolina was losing at the half to a 16. Duke was only up 4 at the half to a 16.
Bradley gave Michigan State a run.
Yeah. And then, you know, that's been the big theme, I think, of the tournament the last few years, is the 15 and the 16 seeds have gotten a whole heck of a lot better than they were 10 years ago.
Yeah, they really have. They really have. And, you know, there's an awful lot of athletes out there playing basketball, and there's an awful lot of athletes that play 1 year and they're gone to the NBA. So that allows what we used to call the mid-majors to be that much better because they get the athletes, and these guys stick around.
That is the biggest difference is these mid-major teams, they're senior-laden.
Yeah.
And, you know, the blue blood programs are freshman-laden.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, the freshmen, for as talented as they are.
They're still freshmen.
They're still freshmen.
Yeah.
They're still freshmen.
Yeah. Should be an interesting run down the stretch here.
Big Ten went 7-1 in the opening round.
I don't think any conference has ever done that well,
most
have
ever.
They?
Most ever wins in a single round of the tournament, 7.
Wow.
Wisconsin was the only team to lose.
Hmm.
Then you got a Big Ten matchup today as Michigan State will face Minnesota in the second round.
Yeah.
How that happened. It did.
They got together with the IHSA.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
We'll see if Ja Morant at Murray State can keep it going.
The Racers.
Yeah, triple-double the other day.
Yeah.
And he's a stud.
Yeah. Yeah. Gosh, we're out of time.
We're out of time. The hour flew by. Thanks to new athletic director for Litchfield High School, Mark Elvers, for joining us this morning, and Kyle McBrain as well. He'll be coaching one of the girls' all-star teams tomorrow. And, of course, good luck to his Bulldogs as they continue their baseball season. Cardinals on the air this morning, 11:45, AM 1540 and FM 106.9. Opening day on Thursday. Tito, take us home.
That's going to do it for Sports Saturday, WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville. Your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. Have a great sporting weekend.